friends. This is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're studying 28 Advent Scriptures, and this is number 9, day 9, Today I Have Begotten You, Psalm 2. And welcome to Monday, the second week of Advent. Let's pray. I thank you, Lord, for your peace. But I also thank you that you are strong in conflict. And when we're in conflict, O Lord, you're there fighting for us. We trust you, our Messiah, anointed one of Yahweh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We don't like to think of conflict at Christmas. We would much rather talk about peace on earth, goodwill to men. But the truth is that King Jesus is a serious threat to anyone who will not follow him. Jesus seems to evoke powerful reactions. People can't remain neutral towards him when they understand who he is. Psalm 2 describes a kind of international conspiracy against Yahweh and his king among the nations and the kings of the earth. I'm reading Psalm 2, 1 through 6. Why do the nations conspire, and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one throned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger, and he terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. The Apostle Peter declares that Psalm 2, 1 through 2, is prophetic of the determined Herod as well as Pontius Pilate and the Jewish leaders who recognize the threat and unite to kill Jesus. Acts 4, 25-26. Such a rebellion against the Messiah, the Anointed One, is not confined to earthly rulers. In Revelation, we see a cosmic rebellion against God and his Messiah couched in the symbols of a woman and her male child, a battle between the archangel Michael and the dragon, Revelation 12, the Antichrist, the false prophet, Revelation 13, and the whore of Babylon, Revelation 17. It is a spiritual battle fought in heavenly places. The psalmist may have initially thought he was speaking of the Davidic king as a son in the figurative sense portrayed in the Davidic covenant we talked about on day 7. I'm reading from Psalm 2, 7 through 9. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Verse 7 speaks of an especially close relationship between the Father and Son, Yahweh and his Messiah. However, such a relationship is difficult to interpret as speaking of a merely human king. And verse 8 seems to speak of a king who rules over the whole earth, not just the nations that surround Israel itself. That was David's farthest domain. Verses 7 through 9 suggest a king who rules the entire world. The Anointed One in verse 7 is identified as Jesus in Acts 13:33 and Hebrews 1:5 and 5:5. Verse 8 is also the source of the only begotten Son terminology in the Apostle John's writings. Now an important bit of church history. It gets complex, but stay with me. In the days leading up to the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, the Gnostic priest Arius claimed that Jesus being begotten implied a time when he didn't exist, that, in a sense, he was created by God. Orthodox Christians have always maintained Christ's essential divinity, as delineated in the Nicene Creed, originally in 325 AD and finally at the Council of Constantinople in 381. I'm reading from part of it. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father, begotten of the Father before all worlds, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father. The Nicene Creed makes clear Christians' belief that Jesus is not some kind of divine human or lesser God, but that his divinity is on a par with that of the Father himself. John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus is fully God and fully man. The psalm concludes, verses 10-12, Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. In our day, we see a general rebellion against God, a desire to live independent of God and not be under any obligation to the great King. How foolish to conspire to overthrow Yahweh and his Messiah. Yet sometimes we see this kind of rebellion in our own hearts. Sometimes we struggle against God. We struggle against his will in our lives. The bottom line is that kings and rulers, and you and I, must renounce our rebelliousness. Rather, we must make peace with the Son, with a kiss of homage and a knee bent before him. He is and will be the rightful King of all. Will you let him be King in your life today? Will you kiss the Son? Discussion question number 9, based on Psalm 2:1-12. Why does Jesus provoke such negative reactions from some people? Why do people tend to resist any kind of authority? What should we do when we detect resistance in our own hearts? What does it mean to kiss the Son? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, forgive the rebellion we sometimes find in our hearts. Help us renounce resistance and be your disciples indeed. We look forward to the time when you will reign over all, when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Come soon, King Jesus.